Well, turn to Leviticus chapter 8. We'll just briefly pray before we look at this portion of Scripture tonight. Lord, we thank Thee for the wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for this truth that a good high priest is come in Aaron's place. We thank Thee for the Son of God, the Savior that has sent into the world for us. Oh, give us a glimpse of Him tonight. Give us a soul-refreshing view of Jesus in His Word. Bless the people of God here. Bless our poor, needy hearts, Lord. We just need the Lord. And we're just looking to the Lord too. And may the Lord help us and visit us. And lift us up and encourage us. And work in us His glory. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Leviticus chapter 8. And we read here in verse 1. That the Lord speaks unto Moses. And He tells him, saying, take Aaron. Take Aaron. There's a man here who's to be taken. There's a man here who is called. And Moses obeys the Lord. It says in verse 6, Moses brought Aaron and his son. So God says, take him. Moses brought him. And then we read, he put upon him, verse 7, the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him. Now what's happening here? Well, what is happening here is God is taking out the priest that Israel needs. Israel needs a priest. And God is taking him out here. And He's clothing him and He's consecrating him and He's equipping him to be the high priest in Israel. And of course, there's a greater than Aaron here. And tonight we want to think about the priest we need. You need a priest. That's maybe unusual to hear in a Protestant church. But we know it's true. You need a priest. And that priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Leviticus chapter 8, we come to a new section that runs from chapter 8, verse 1, that we read, down to the end of chapter 10. And what we have now is some history, some narrative history. In chapters 1 to 7, we had the classroom teaching, the law of the offerings. What was to be done with regard to the law of the offerings? And there were directions concerning all those sacrifices. But the tabernacle has been erected. The furniture has been made and placed. The priest's garments have been completed. The various offerings have been described and they've been taught about them. But there can be no action, no activity in the tabernacle until there is a priest. And now the action begins. Everything's ready. Everything's in place. All the teaching about the sacrifices is there. And now we just need a priest. And now the action begins. And the Lord at last says, take Aaron. And what we have here is the history of the institution of the priesthood in Israel. And they're very important chapters. We can call the chapters 8 through to 10 the first week in the new tabernacle. The first week in the meeting place with the priests. We have the first week. Up to this point it has been classroom theory. But now the practical begins and the priesthood is consecrated. And it begins to function. And what we have here is history. We're seeing things now. We're not just listening to things. We're hearing, we're seeing things. There's history taking place. We're reading history now. And it begins with the consecration and the ordination of the priests, take Aaron and his sons with him. The main one is Aaron. The sons are not taken apart from Aaron, apart from the father. The focus of the camera is particularly upon Aaron. He is the high priest. And so we have an account of the clothing of him, the consecration of him and of the priests. We have an account of the very first sacrifices that take place in the tabernacle, an account of the fire of God that comes down and lights it all up. And so we're looking at history now. And the chapter opens with Moses taking Aaron and gathering together the people of God, all the congregation, verse 3, they're all brought to the door of the tabernacle, the massive gathering. And in the midst of them is Aaron. And they're watching what's done to Aaron and to his son. So something great is taking place. You have to sense that. When the whole church is gathered there, when the whole body of the congregation is gathered there, something is important that's taking place. Something that God wants them to see. Something that God never wants them to forget. Something that God wants them to tell their children and their children's children about, that great day of the consecration of Aaron. That great day when the fire came down and God visited the priesthood. Something important is taking place because a priest is being made. And the priesthood is being established. And a mediator between God and man is going to be set in place. And it's going to be Aaron who is to be that high priest. Take Aaron. And so the focus is upon him. He is central. You'll see the emphasis in verse 7. He put upon him the coat. He girded him with the girdle. He clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him. He girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound it onto him. So on and so forth. He is the one who's made glorious in this dress. There is a New Testament passage to write over this chapter. It is why we read Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through to 5. Because we read there in verse 1 of Hebrews 5, every high priest taken. He was taken from among men. And the apostle has this chapter in mind, Leviticus chapter 8, take Aaron. Every high priest is taken from among men. And is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Leviticus chapter 8 is in his mind. And then he goes on and he says, no man takes this honor unto himself. Aaron didn't choose it. But he was called of God. And then the apostle goes on to say, as was Aaron, so Christ. And those are the words you write on top of this chapter. As was Aaron, so Christ. That's what the apostle writes over Leviticus chapter 8. As was Aaron, so Christ. So Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So, as Aaron, so Christ. Aaron cannot do the real work. Aaron's just the ceremonial. Aaron's just the typological. Aaron's just the pictures. Aaron's just the prophecy. Aaron's just doing the shadow work. He's just working with the shadows of the eternal and the greater things. He's just foreshadowing Christ, who does the heavenly work and the real redemptive work and is the true and the reality high priest. And so whenever we think of the ordination of Aaron tonight, we're thinking of the ordination of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why has God gone to so much trouble to give us the book of Leviticus? Why did he create this living picture and set up a priestly lineage running from Aaron? Why did he do it? What's this all about? Well, it is that we would recognize Jesus Christ whenever he came. And we would realize that he is the one who is pictured in all of this. You know, whenever you have never met someone, you have to maybe collect them at the airport. You haven't met them, but you've been given a picture. And so that when that person comes into the airport off the plane, because you have a picture, you recognize him. And that's why God is giving us the picture. So that when the real true one comes who fulfills it all, we will recognize him. And brethren and sisters, the one that we recognize is Jesus Christ. For he is our great high priest. And as we study this book of Leviticus, we see it. We are persuaded of it. He is portrayed in it. And the veil is gone. And we recognize Christ as Aaron. So Christ. And oh, that the Jews would see it. Oh, that blind Israel, as it visits its Old Testament scriptures, and as it reads its Old Testament writings, they have a veil over them, and they cannot recognize Jesus. But we must pray on that God will remove the veil, as one day he shall. And the veil shall be removed, and Israel shall one day see. And it'll bring great blessings upon the earth when God does that. And whenever the whole world is filled with Jewish missionaries who saw Jesus and the veil is gone, and they go round about preaching the glorious tidings of salvation in their new found Messiah. And we must pray to that end. Now one day they will see written over this chapter by the Holy Spirit, as Aaron, so Christ, so Christ. So we're going to look at this chapter in that way tonight. And this chapter tells us five things that I want to bring to your attention tonight. Five truths. The first one is, as sinners, we need a priest. We need a priest. Isn't that really the great lesson to Israel? Why does God put Aaron aside? Why does God call Aaron? Why does God give him the clothes? Why does God give him the anointing? Why does God give him the instruction? Why does God make a priest? And the only answer is that Israel needs a priest. The people can only gather to the door of the tabernacle. They can only congregate outside. They can bring their offering to the door. They want to do that. But as they bring their offering to the door, they also have to bring their offering to the priest. And so they can't come in without the priest. They can't come in without priestly work. They can't come in without the organization of the priestly institution. And so they can only come into the tent proper whenever a priest is there to inspect their offering, to see that it is without blemish. They can only do it when there is a priest who keeps the fire burning all the time. They can only do it when there is a priest who goes into that most holy tent, there to the altar of incense, where they cannot go, where they're not allowed to go, but they can only find access to God through the priest, who can go right into the presence of God. Even once a year, the high priest can go right into the most holy place. They need that priest. And so God is telling Israel that, take Aaron. The tabernacle is not enough. All the furniture of the tabernacle is not enough. All the offerings that are ready at hand to be brought is not enough. It's not enough that the tabernacle is complete and all the curtains are up and everything is in place. It's not enough that there's a table, and there's not enough that there are the lamps and the light, and it's not enough that there is the altar of incense. It's not enough. Take Aaron. You need a priest. Take Aaron. And so a priest is necessary. And that's what Hebrews 5 says. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men. Men need a priest. Is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the people? Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? Who can bring them to God? The people need a priest. The necessity of a priest in Israel. This is what this chapter is about. Necessary because sin excludes the people from God's presence. And the priest is a kind of a mediator who must have a sacrifice to expiate sin and propitiate God. And he finds his plea for those that he represents. He pleads for those that he represents. The priest who pleads, who has compassion for those he represents, who goes before God for those who he represents, who sacrifices for those he represents, who prays for those that he represents. And so take Aaron. But men and women, we know that the fulfillment of this is not in the dogma of the Church of Rome and their false teaching of priesthood. And the fulfillment of this is not in the doctrine of the universal priesthood of all believers, which we do believe and which we confess and preach. But the fulfillment of that is not in this. The fulfillment of this is in Jesus Christ, who is not just a high priest, but the great high priest. He fulfills this. And God sets this forth not only to teach Israel that they need a priest, but to teach humanity, to teach sinners, to teach us tonight, we need a priest. We need one to be taken, one who is fit and able, and who fulfills all of this, and who brings to us the reality of bringing us into the presence of God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only priest you need. He's the only priest that you must always look to. So as sinners we need a priest, and that priest is Jesus Christ. As sinners, we need a divinely appointed priest. That's the second thought. Take Aaron. Now whose decision was that? What authority was that? Was this merely family placement? After all, Aaron was the older brother of Moses. Was this favoritism? Was this Moses doing? Is this a job for the older brother? No. The Lord spake to Moses. Moses is meek and lowly. He wouldn't have took Aaron. He knows Aaron's faults. Aaron wouldn't have been the man of Moses' choice. But God said, take Aaron. Called of God. That's what he is. He's called of God. Divinely commanded. Verse 4. Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He maybe had his own feelings about the matter. He maybe thought, what is God doing here? But he does what God commands. So he assembled the gathering and he brought Aaron. He obeys God. And he says to the people, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Verse 5. This is what God has commanded. You know, we can't have any old priest. We can't have a human choice. It's not a man-made thing. If we are to have a priest, God must pick him. God must ordain him. God must equip him. God must set him in the center. God must give him the work. God must give him the call. And throughout the chapter there is this emphasis that it is all of divine appointment. Verse 9. He puts the mitre upon his head and he clothes him with all of this. As the Lord commanded Moses. As God commanded. Verses 34 to 36. As he hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do. It's the Lord's command. It's God's appointing. And so about a dozen times, I think it's reiterated throughout this chapter, as the Lord commanded. Aaron is God's priest. You can't have any old priest. You need God's priest. God appoints you. You're going to God. You're going to draw near to the Most Holy One. He has to point the priest out that you need. And so Israel is to look to God's priest. God is the one who is offended. God is the one who has sinned against. Man is in the wrong. And grace allows a priest. But justice will only allow that that priest is appointed by God, not man. And so they're gathered together to see God's man that day. And again I remind you of Hebrews 5. No man taketh this honour upon himself, but he that is called of God. As was Aaron, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Brethren and sisters, Jesus Christ, the man of Calvary, the Galilean, he is God's man. He is appointed by the Most High to be the high priest that we need. God's choice for us. And we rejoice in that choice and we acquiesce in that choice. Now, of course, Aaron was not the great high priest of our salvation. He died. And when he died, he was replaced by his son. And he died. And he was replaced by his son. And so it carried on. And Israel were reminded that the high priest was born and died. And he didn't continue his priesthood, but he was replaced. But Jesus Christ died and rose again. And the Bible says he has an unchangeable and an irreplaceable priesthood. The day God called him, he says, thou art a priest forever. Not for a generation. Not until you die. But at death and through death and beyond death into eternity, you are my priest always. And so Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this. Aaron was replaced, but in time Christ's priesthood come into place. And it's superior in every way. He's the real high priest, and that's why he's called our great high priest. And his appointment is superior than Aaron's appointment. Aaron's appointment is only a picture, but his appointment is altogether unique. How is his appointment altogether unique? Well, because it was an appointment in eternity before the world was made. And because it was made with a divine oath. And so we read in Hebrews that our priest is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, such as Aaron was, and that we're reading about tonight. Christ was not made after the law of a carnal commandment, whenever Moses just was told, take Aaron and consecrate him. No, Christ is not like that made a high priest. No, but he is made a high priest by the word and the authority and by the oath of God. Inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. Hebrews 7 verse 20. For those priests were made without an oath. We don't read of an oath here in Leviticus chapter 8 concerning Aaron. We don't read of an oath here concerning their descendants as they carry on the priesthood. But whenever we read of Jesus Christ, we read that he was made a priest by an oath. Because the Bible says, the Lord swore and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And so he's a real priest, men and women. He has the oath of God, the authority of God, the call of God behind him. He is the priest that we need, who has been appointed by the God that we want to come unto. And we can rest confident in this congregation that the Lord Jesus is the right one. And you can come boldly through him. And you can have confidence in him. And you need not fear to come to God, because your God has put him in place for you. For you who are ignorant. For you who are so dull and blind. For you who easily go out of the way, he has put in place for you a compassionate and fully equipped priest to bring you near to him. That priest is Christ. A great high priest has come, supplying Aaron's place. Thirdly, as sinners, do we not only need a priest, not only do we need a divinely appointed priest, we also need a perfectly pure priest. There is an emphasis here on the needful purity of the priest. Verse 6, Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. The first thing that happens to them is that they are washed. Now, of course, it's a ceremonial. It's a washing of the body. But it's to portray the purity that they are to have, the cleanness that is to characterize them. Washing always signifies cleansing in the Bible. And the washing of the body signifies not only outward purification, but the inward too, when it takes place in the ritual of the tabernacle. And the ceremony here is necessary because the priests must be pure. Now, of course, Aaron's not. Aaron has faults. He's not a perfect priest. He couldn't possibly be until Christ came. And so he has to be washed. There's the acknowledgement that this isn't really the true priest. He's not clean. The first thing we have to do with him is wash him. But brethren and sisters, let me tell you this. Nobody had to take the Lord Jesus Christ and wash him. He was pure. He was sinless. Aaron wasn't. Everybody knew he was a sinner. Everybody knew the mistakes and errors of judgment. You only have to remember the calf at the bottom of Sinai that they worshipped. Aaron made that. We know he's stained. We know he's a sinner. We know this is only shadow stuff. We know this is only picture stuff of the great reality. But we do need a pure priest, and Israel must be taught that. And the very first thing, he's stripped and he's washed. He's purified. He's made clean. He also has to offer an offering. He has to offer a bullock for himself, because it's the acknowledgement he's a sinner. But once he's washed, once he's ceremonially clean, once the bullock is offered for his sin, he is pictured as a priest in purity for the people. So Aaron is not pure, but he must be purified, because he whom he pictures will be sinless. A real priest. The effectual priest who has no sin. And all of this, men and women, shows that Christ must be sinless, as indeed he is. And the Apostle Hebrews, which is really an exposition of the book of Leviticus, the two books just go side by side. The Apostle in the Hebrews, he says, such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who doesn't need to daily offer sacrifices for sin, for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. See, that's what these priests had to do. They had to offer for their own sins first, before they could function as priests for the people, offering for their sins. But Jesus Christ, that's the priest that becomes us. He doesn't daily have to offer sins for himself, but he only offered himself once, and he didn't do it for himself. He did it for sinners, for he gave himself, and he's pure and he's sinless. So the priest that we need must be without blemish, without fault, without sin. And the people see that. And they realize that a greater than Aaron has to come. You know, these people weren't really hoping to get to God through Aaron. Those who were taught of the Holy Spirit saw beyond that. They saw that they needed a greater one. And with the veil removed, we see that that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so men and women tonight have confidence in Christ, because he's a priest of God's appointment, and because he's the only priest who has no sin. The only priest whose offering did not have to be for himself. That's the priest we need. And that's the priest we have in our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ. But also, as sinners, we not only need a priest, we not only need a priest divinely appointed by God, we not only need a priest who is pure and spotless and sinless without fault, we also need a beautifully holy and a wonderfully glorious priest, such as God has glorified. And you notice that this priest has special garments. They're called glorious garments. He's not only washed, he's dressed. And there's this emphasis. All these garments had to be carefully made. You know, it was very skillful work to make these garments. Not everybody walked about in clothes like this. It took a long time to make these garments. Very expensive. If they were found today, they would be priceless. The glorious robes. And they're put upon him. Because not only must he be pure, he must be holy, he must be wonderfully glorious, he must have the beauty of holiness, he must stand out as altogether special and altogether unique, like no other. That's why these clothes are here. To set forth one who is conspicuous in his glory. He must be one that God delights in, that God, as it were, has joy and gladness in, that God is satisfied when one who appears glorious to God and one who appears glorious to men, one who has on the very forehead the holiness unto the Lord, who stands out preeminent in holiness. So it's not just a case of he must be sinless, he must be spotless, he must be clean. No, he must be glorious in holiness. He must shine and radiate in glory. That's the one we need representing us. That's the one we need right there in the holy place at the right hand of God for us. We need a glorious high priest. We need someone who's heavenly. We don't only need an ordinary man, we need the heavenly man. We need the one who's sent by God. We need the Son of God. And so he wore a holy crown, this priest. And these clothes were for glory and beauty, the Bible says. And what is glorious to God is holiness. Nothing so beautiful as the beauty of holiness. Now, what priest is so in reality? Not Aaron, not his sons, not Rome's priests, no matter how they dress themselves. Let us hear the verdict of God himself. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's the glorious one to me. He has the glorious dress. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. They don't have glory. They have infirmity. That's what the law is doing. It's just dressing them up. But Christ is the reality. The word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son. That's the difference. The word of the oath that makes this priest is the word that makes his Son this priest. And our priest is the glorious Son of God. Holy, harmless, undefiled, spotless, but higher than the heavens. That's Jesus Christ alone. There's a glory about Christ, especially from his resurrection and ascension. Even on the cross, he's glorious. He calls the cross his glory. It's the glory that will draw men to himself. But when he rose and ascended, he's in the place of glory. He has this beauty about him. And these garments are a wonderful study in themselves. And they show to us glorious aspects of the person and priesthood of Jesus Christ, and we're not going to look at them in detail tonight. But here the Father is depicting the priest that he wants, the priest that we need, a glorious high priest. And that holy child Jesus is that, a glorious high priest. We have a wonderful Savior. We who are filthy and defiled, we who dare not on our own spot, on our own stead, go into God's presence. But there is one who owns us, one who has bought us, one who goes to the very forefront of us as he brings us into the presence of God. And when the Father sees him and the glorious beauty of his Son, he receives us sinners. That's the high priest we need. That's the one we are standing behind. That's the one we are hiding in. That's the one through faith that we are pushing, as it were, to the front of us as we go into the presence of our Heavenly Father. It's Christ. For glory and beauty. As sinners also, we need a wonderfully and fully anointed high priest. There is the anointing that takes place in this. We read there, Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything therein. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. The anointed priest, the high priest, all the priests were anointed. But the anointing of the ordinary priest was by sprinkling it's poured on Aaron. It's poured on the high priest. So that whenever Messiah comes, we will recognize him. That's him. He has the anointing. He has the anointing without measure. He has the anointing upon his head. It runs down his beard. It goes right down to the outer garments. It covers his whole body. It spreads to his church. That's the priest we need. Who receives the anointing. Who receives the reality. Who receives the fullness of this. That's Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? Anointed beyond measure. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed not just by a little sprinkle and a finger, but he received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Such a fullness as flows out to the body. Anointed beyond measure. And so we read that when he was baptized and he commences his public ministry, coming out of the waters of Jordan, having passed through the ritual cleansing, we read that the Spirit of the Lord came down upon him beyond measure and rested upon him. Of whom John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but he will have so much of the Holy Spirit that he will baptize you with the Spirit. And so we see the picture. And whenever the person comes and receives the reality, the true Messiah, the truly anointed one, we know that he is our priest. He is the one that we want, the one that we desire, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see here how Christ fulfills us and how he is perfectly equipped by God to be the one that we need to come near to God. Now there is one difference. As Aaron, so Christ. There is one difference where that does not apply. One thing. Because we read here in verse 14 that he brought the bullock for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon it. Upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering. The high priest needed the sin offering. His son who would replace him is also putting his hand here. He needs the sin offering. And so they have to offer up sin offerings for themselves. And that's the one thing of which we cannot say, as Aaron, so Christ. They only prefigure Christ. And this is the one action that tells us we look for another. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not have to lay his hand on a sin offering. The Father laid his hand on him and sanctified him and made him not only the high priest, but also made him, by that sanctification, the sin offering for his people. And so in the priest that we need, our priest must himself be the sin offering. And that's the great difference. And so who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, he doesn't have to do that. First for his own sins and then for the people. No, the Lord Jesus, the real priest, the true priest, our priest doesn't have to do that. He only has to offer up a sacrifice once, not daily, only once. And the sacrifice that he offers up is himself. And so this is the uniqueness of the priestly work of Jesus Christ. He's not only a high priest, he's the offering. He's the sacrifice. And so he gives himself in the sacrifice for his people. And so we read that the high priest went into the holy place once a year. And he went in with blood, which he offered for himself, as well as for the errors of his people. but not Jesus Christ. He went in with his own blood, which he offered for his people. It was his own blood. He himself was the sacrifice. And that's how we know he fulfills this and he is the reality. This is just pictures. This is just primary school stuff to show us the real one is yet to come. And when he comes, he is the offering. And he offers himself. And he sheds his own blood as high priest. And he goes into the presence of God on the basis of that for us. Why do you not believe in him? Why do you not trust and rest in him? He's the priest you need. Why do all our Catholic neighbors put so much faith and confidence in an earthly priest, an earthly mediator? And they, God forbid it, in their blindness should miss Christ. Oh, let not any man be deceived. Jesus Christ is the great high priest alone. He stands by himself. His sacrifice is a once for all offering that he has given by himself. And there's nothing else you need. And there's no other sacrifice can go in its place. And there's no other sacrifice can augment it, or improve it, or help it. Christ alone and his atoning blood. This is the lesson of this chapter. And so may we all have our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as the high priest that we need. And we trust in none other. To him be glory and praise.